How would you feel if I called you a dog? Do you think that's the way the sermon was going to begin today? Who likes dogs? Are you a dog or a cat person? Okay, well, we got mixed reviews here. I'm a dog person. I have two dogs at my house. We have Lulu and Reggie. I'll let you figure out which one my daughter's named. You know, dogs are always happy to see you. They are always good listeners, right? They seem to be, at least. And they're also very good vacuum cleaners. Like when we drop stuff on the floor, correct? So this morning, we have an amazing and a fascinating conversation between Jesus and a woman where dogs make an appearance. So let's take a look at this from Mark chapter 7, beginning with verse 24. And from there, he, Jesus, arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. I'm going to stop there. So Jesus has now retreated, literally retreated from the crowds of people. Jesus is worn out. Remember, Jesus is not only 100% God, he's 100% human. He's tired, he's worn out, he needs to rest. He's just tired of people wanting things from him all the time. And you know, this is really a continuation of all the past sermons for the last 5 or 6 weeks, way back to when Jesus fed the 5,000. And then, you know, that night he walked on water. He was trying to get away. They were trying to get away then. And it's been nonstop since then. He just needs to relax. So he goes to Gentile territory. I got a map just to give you some context here. So you see above Galilee there at the top, you see Phoenicia. And little dots along the Mediterranean Sea there is Tyre. And up at the top is Sidon. So this is where Jesus retreated to from Galilee to get away from the hordes of people. And notice that it said in those verses I read that Jesus didn't want anybody to know he was there. He's trying to go undetected. But guess what? Jesus is not going to get to relax. Because this woman, who is described as a Gentile, a Syrophoenician Gentile, comes to him. And remember that Gentiles are all the non-Jews. Unless you're of Jewish descent, we are all Gentiles as well. It's basically just non-Jews. They were considered outsiders to the Jews. So Jews wouldn't be wandering around in that area up there. Because when you come in contact with a Gentile, you can become unclean. And remember the whole deal with the washing, the ritual washing, to make yourself clean again. You know, this all got me to thinking here. Whether we want to admit it or not, Jesus is crossing boundaries here. And whether we want to admit it or not, we live within made-up boundaries in our lives. Are there areas in Fort Wayne you avoid? Or tell your kids not to be in, especially at nighttime? Don't go to this Kroger. Go to this Kroger, it's safer. Don't go to this McDonald's, it's not very good. Are there certain people you avoid? Are there people or situations that are just considered taboo? And guess what? Jesus doesn't care about any of those taboos. Jesus crosses all boundaries. All boundaries. He shows that here. And what's interesting in this event that we're looking at today is this woman, Gentile woman, an outsider, an unclean person, is crossing boundaries too. She's a Gentile. She's a religious outsider. She's a cultural outsider. And she's coming to a man in a society that's male dominated. Women weren't supposed to talk to men, especially a Gentile to a Jewish man. She's checked all the boxes of things you should not do. But I think we parents here can understand. She is a desperate mom who has a sick kid that's possessed by a demon and will do anything to get him her help. Can you parents understand this woman? Where she's at? She's desperate. And so she's willing to cross all these boundaries that she's not supposed to cross. So let's see how Jesus responds to her in verse 27. And Jesus said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Whoa. Did Jesus just call this woman a dog? You know, we live in a world that we see people calling people demeaning names all the time, right? We don't want to see Jesus calling somebody a name. He's calling her a dog. What's up, Jesus? What is he up to here? And so just some more context here. In Bible times, dogs were mostly scavengers. King David described his enemies like this in Psalm 59. "Each evening they come back, howling like dogs and prowling about the city." And listen to what Paul says in his letter to the Philippians. "Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers." And the Greek word here that is used, and this is some more helpful context to understand what Jesus is doing here, is the word that is used is really not describing those wild or street dogs, which they had a lot of in Bible times. It's talking about those dogs you would maybe have as your pet that would be underneath your table when you're eating. But he's still calling her a dog. So to understand Jesus' words, I think we need to look at it like a parable. Now remember, parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus was talking about his sequence of his mission. He was sent, and the Old Testament is clear, all the prophecies are clear about this. He was sent first for the lost sheep of Israel. So let's see how the woman responds to being called, compared to a dog, in verse 28. "But she answered Jesus, 'Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs.'" So even though Jesus' words sound a little harsh here, because no matter what kind of dog you're being compared to, is it necessarily a compliment? Is it? Even if somebody says, "You dog," is that really a good thing? I don't think so. But the woman here is picking up on what Jesus is saying here. Her faith tells her Jesus came for all people. And the Bible is also very clear about this, including the Old Testament. The Old Testament talks about Jesus coming for all nations. All the nations would come to him. Not just the Jews. Yes, it does say the Jews first, then Israel, the lost sheep, but all people. And her faith is telling her this. Jesus said in John 10, I have other sheep that I have come for also. He's talking about us, the other sheep. So she gets it. She doesn't just see Jesus' words as an insult. And actually, she shows her faith. She understands the children get fed first, but the dogs still get something. And for those who have children, do they drop crumbs? They drop them all over my truck. Yes, teenagers still do that. And if I'm honest, I drop crumbs too. We have a 5-minute rule in our house, not a 5-second rule. And you know, dogs don't wait for the children to finish eating. They are right there to get the crumbs when they fall on the floor. The woman understands that a crumb of grace from Jesus is plenty. Let's look at Jesus' response to this woman. And Jesus said to her, for this statement you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter. And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. You see, Jesus was looking for genuine faith in the woman, and he found it. He was looking for a heart that would not take offense and would accept what he was giving. You know, we talked about the heart last week, because from within is what defiles us. He was looking for a heart that would accept what he was giving. You know, this woman, we can learn from here this morning. This woman shows us a faith that is humble and persistent. And her faith seems to be stronger than the disciples. Because the disciples are constantly asking Jesus for understanding. We don't get this. What's going on? They didn't understand the feeding of the 5,000. The Pharisees definitely didn't have the faith that this woman does. She's in stark contrast to the other people we've been seeing here in Mark chapter 7. Her faith seems stronger. And you know what? Too often we come to God with the attitude of what we deserve or what is our rights instead of just accepting what he's giving us. You know, God doesn't owe us anything. But he sent his son Jesus anyway. This woman was persistent because she loved her daughter and knew Jesus was her only hope. She had no plan B. This was it. Jesus was her only hope to help her daughter. Jesus is our only hope too. And guess what? There is no plan B for us either. Jesus is it. And Jesus has more than enough grace for you and me today. Jesus humbled himself and subjected himself to a horrible death on that cross. Psalm, talking about dogs this morning, 22 verse 16. This is a chapter in the book of Psalm that is just a prophecy about the coming Messiah, Jesus. And look at what it says in verse 16. For dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet with nails to a cross. Jesus, our Savior, became lower than dogs, so that we can receive more than crumbs. We receive forgiveness for our sins. We receive righteousness because of what he did for us on the cross. And we receive eternal life with him in heaven. Amen. Let's pray.